You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I want to live with joy in my heart. Joy comes from the inside. Happiness comes from the outside. Happiness could be found in things, in amusements, in sports. That's happiness. That's outside, external, that comes inward. But joy comes from the inside and goes out. I want to have joy in the inside. When everything out here is, may not even be happy. It might be negative. It might be depressing. It might be overwhelming. It might cause me sleepless nights. But when it out here is not good, it still can be good in here. Paul was in a jail cell in writing to the Philippian saints. It's four chapters, 104 verses. He said 18 times to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. He talks about in chapter 4, don't miss this verse 1. Ye, he talks to the Philippian saints, ye are my joy. The same that we have here as it writes in the book of Thessalonians. The 104 verses in Philippians, and isn't it amazing if you go back and mark it, you'll see over 104 times, Jesus, Christ, Lord, God, and Father. In a jail cell, lowered in the ground, and he is obsessed with Jesus Christ, that I may know him, Philippians 3:10. For to me to live is Christ, Philippians 1:21. My God shall supply all your need. I can do all things through Christ. He lived on the winning side, but it wasn't external, it was internal. And the goal of my life is to be joyful on the inside. Last week we saw the first message in this series on where to find joy, and we found in Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And we saw last week in the presence of God, there's joy. I want to walk in his presence this week. I want to be with him and walk with the king. And I come to the garden alone while the dew is still, and he walks with me. I want the presence of God. I told you last week, and it was so good to see our son and his wife here this week at the conference, and he's pastoring in Arizona. And I reminded Tim, I said, Tim, I preached the first message last week, and it was based on what you told me years ago. He said, well, Dad, they haven't understood yet Psalm 16, verse 11. And I said, well, I can't remember what that is. What is it, son? He goes, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know not what the future holds. But I'm going to do my best to live in the presence of God. And so we see the presence of God creates joy. Tonight we find in 1 Thessalonians that the people of God create joy. Don't attack the people of God to me. I love God's people. Look what the Bible says, verse number 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye at the present, are not even ye at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. On the heels of a pastor's conference, I believe our delegates saw that this week in your life. God's people refreshed them. The singspiration every night for 20 minutes in the lobby, and folks going up the stairways and over the balcony looking in, and we had all those stringed instruments out there and woodwinds out there and brass. I don't know. We didn't have the full orchestra. I'm going to guess there was 15, 20 pieces of instruments and the piano, and those people were singing and jammed in there like sardines, and we watched it in here at the same time, and there was music going in here with groups, and then just the fellowship of eating after church, after service. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and even getting on shuttle buses to park off the people loved every bit of it. Let me tell you something about God's people at North Valley Baptist Church. Verse 20, ye are our glory and our joy. God's people are the best. Now I know every church has nutcases. Some of you are sitting next to one. I say sometimes as I travel, I said, I'm writing a book on nutcases I've known. Almost every invariably, if I ever say that, pastors will come say, can I co-author with that book with you? I've got some nutcases in my church. How many of you right now are sitting next to a nutcase? Don't raise your hand. You know, in every church there's gossips. And ladies, I'm not trying to be rude. It used to be at one time we thought women were gossips. Amen. Case of the stupids right there. We used to think women were gossips. I don't know what's going on, but men are gossips now. I'm offended. I got to say something to you. What is that about? Come on, fellas. Well, I tell you, I had my feelings hurt. You've got to be kidding me. Take it out to the football field. Take it out to the boxing ring. Just go out there. Just go out. Box it out with somebody. You've got to be kidding me, fellas. Well, people are ignoring me in the church. Yes, there's nutcases, there's gossips, there's liars. You ever hear of Ananias and Sapphira? They lied. The Bible uses that word, they lied. To the assembly, they lied. To the holy, they lied. Can you imagine being in a church where there are liars? Well, there are. And they're complainers. The widows, Acts 6, were neglected in the daily administration, so they complained. Just like the children of Israel did, they murmured and complained. What did God, we died in Egypt. You know, they're complainers, and it used to bother me. It kind of humors me now, Brother Jose. It's kind of, I tell you what, why did we paint that room that color? Because we thought you wouldn't like it. That's why we did it. We're trying to be very mean to everybody. We can't be mean. Come on, folks. And that has never happened here. That has never happened one time. But there are gossips and there are complainers and there are liars. And you know what? They're mean people. Galatians chapter 5, ye bite and devour one another. Now, thank God no one's been biting on me yet. But ye bite and devour one another. And there are bad people in the church. Ye did run well, Galatians 5 said, who hath hindered thee? Watch the who's you hang out with. The who's are going to get you out of the will of God. There's carnal people. I wouldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but ye are carnal. You're fleshly. You're worldly people. And so in the church, you have all these types of people. They're these unrepentant type of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but let a man examine himself. But let him not eat or drink unworthily, but he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Doesn't mean that we're sinless. It means that if you're participating with unconfessed sin, you're bringing judgment on you. For this cause, what unrepentant sin? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, actually die. Because of unconfessed sin in the church. There's doctrinal error. Paul names them, and many times James and Hymas, and he names Philetus, different people that were bringing doctrinal error into the church. Paul said to the church at Galatians chapter 1, I marvel that you are so far removed from him that has called you to another gospel, which is not another gospel. He was troubled over the we're in Sunday morning, the book of Colossians this year. And Paul was so concerned because that church had given themselves over to idols, and they did not realize that the fullness of Christ, that they're full in Christ. They don't need these idols. They don't need these gods. Yes, every church has nutcases. But I'll tell you what we also have. It's very humbling to me, tithers. People that work jobs and then honor God on Sunday with the first fruits. This is the greatest giving, tithing, sacrificing church I know. This church has tithers. This church has sacrificers. People have you sacrificed this week. We finished the meetings at night, and they went over to start to eat the meals, and I watched people coming in here after everybody left with vacuum cleaners and started vacuuming for hours at night and cleaning and restoring the property so the next morning we're ready to go again. And people worked through the nights, and they worked late into the nights. People have always sacrificed for this church, for buildings. This building was a sacrifice. We sacrificed for 10 years before we ever had a shovel or a tractor begin to move dirt on this property right here. We sacrificed for those ladies' dorm. I met an older elderly couple. They visited, sat right over here last week, and I got their names, and I got their adult daughter's name this week, today. And I met them out in the parking lot, and I heard them saying, that we're here early, and they said to their daughter, now that is a dormitory, and that is a dormitory, and they have a gymnasium over here, and that's a dining hall. And they began to point, they said, and I was very happy to them. Well, it was happy for me to see how happy they were. You know how we got all these buildings and the other property and 250,000 square feet, a quarter of a million square feet of building? You know how we got it? God's people sacrificed. They sold things. They took two jobs. We took equities out on our houses through the years to give, to build these buildings that are the housing men of God and women of God that are getting trained and starting a Christian school at the other property. And all that because of sacrifice. I tell you what the people of God are to me. They're tithers, they're sacrificers. I love this. They're teachers of the Word of God. The Bible says of Paul's writing to Timothy that from a child, 1 Timothy 1, I think it's verse 6, that from a child that's known the Holy Scripture. And because of that, Colonel, I was thinking this week of all my Sunday school teachers. Kindergarten, Mrs. Daniels, that taught me the Word of God. Taught me, I never knew only a boy named David, but she taught it. And she taught us those courses in our pastor's garage where we had Sunday school as a kindergarten boy. I thought of all the people that took me to camp and taught me the Word of God and the things of God. I think of how people taught me. I think of how our pastor's wife taught us how to sing and how to read notes and how to play instruments and how to form an orchestra in our church. And they invested their lives into us. God's people are the best. I think of God's people, how they've been so friendly. I think as a boy, as I was growing up, and older men in the church and older ladies many times would come and say, Jack, we're proud of you. And just a little thing like that, or we saw you sitting in church and listening so carefully. And just little things like that. You know, please. Don't you be judge and jury over these teenagers. You're not going to find another church in America that has teenagers like ours. All these girls were born here that sang tonight. That little girl was born here. I remember her parents getting married. Don't tell me how bad our teenagers are. Well, I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, oh yeah, don't go there because we know a lot about you when you were a kid. Thank God for these children, these young people. Thank God for the little kids right here. Did you see that little guy? He came back. You get that money in there. You get it right there. Did they have the camera on him? And then Clarabel, she opens that, always does it every week. She's got her little purse. She opens her purse. She takes her money out. And it's methodical. It's all folded right. She puts it in there and moves on. Oh, I tell you what, I live for things like that. I live to talk to your kids. I look forward to sitting down here afterwards tonight, talk to your kids. Don't tell me God's people are bad. Hey, how about opportunities that the church gives us? We never had a Christian school, but this church has provided a Christian school for 47 years for our kids. Don't tell me how bad the people are. I remember I led Alex to Christ. He was the head of the Department of Education over here for all their surplus furniture in Sunnyvale. And I led him to Christ. I said, Alex, we need chairs, 1977, and we need desks. He said, come on over to the warehouse. And I went over there and I saw a desk, nice desk and nice chairs. And he said, okay, Pastor, we'll sell them to you for $1 a desk and $1 a chair. And I came back and that, you know, you should have written a check. I didn't have that kind of money. And God knows we didn't have that kind of money. And I came back on a Wednesday night and said, now folks, we're going to start this school. And we're going to need about 80 chairs and 80 desks. Let's all buy one tonight. And we bought those desks and we brought them over. They were all dusty and put them out in the parking lot, turned them upside down and washed them and with soap and water and turned them over and wiped them down and cleaned them up. I tell you what, God's people did that. God's people parked off this property tonight. God's people bought shuttle buses. God's people just spent $1.5 million buying buses for the bus kids that came on buses today. God's people have given us so many things. Hey, don't tell me how bad God's people are. I've liked all my life the Titus 2, aged men and aged women. God has sent them into my life. Hey, don't tell me how bad they are. Ask Brother Octavio what he and his wife think about the prayer warriors of this church. The little children in kindergarten in school, and we never told them to pray. And every day as they open up school, they pray for Brother Octavio and that God would give him ability to walk again. You know, as he walked in today, and he knows it was very moving for me to see, you know what that was? That was an answered prayer of a child. That was an answered prayer of a teenager because they prayed. That was an answer. Don't attack God's people to me. Yes, there's nutcases. I've watched deeds of kindness my whole entire life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, please, if you will. And so where's their joy? There's joy in God's people. I want to use in these few moments that remain, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and bring to you these people at Macedonia. Our missionary, Brother Bill Bramlett and Doyla that are here, I wonder how many times you've heard this text in missions conference and preached it. And I wonder how many times in the mission field you experienced it, where God's people, that they rise up and help and send something. I look at this text tonight, and here's an example of good people. Moreover, brethren, it's writing to Christians. Thank God for Christians. Amen. We do to the wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Look what they were. They were givers even in their poverty. How that in the great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In my life, I have witnessed my entire life watching people give and sacrifice for the things of God. I've watched it on mission fields where they take a chicken that they have. They have 10 little chickens and they'll slaughter a couple of them for a lunch for the missionary, for the pastor that comes by to visit. I've watched them. We have in Uganda, our missionary got it back in the thicket of jungle, and he got there and he found a little opening and he found a little thatched hut and he saw a car battery. He saw with his own eyes, showed us a picture. He saw a car battery. And in that was hooked up, not a flash screen, but a device where they could watch. They were watching a service in the jungle of Uganda. You know what church service they were watching? North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. And they were gathered together. And he said, I know that church. That supports me. Back in the thicket of it. God's people are the best. People like that, they sacrifice, they give in abundance out of their great poverty. I've watched widows give through my life. I've watched aged men give through my life and poor people. I've watched people on limited offerings and limited money give. And these people, they were in great trial of affliction and poverty, but they gave liberally. I see they were selfless. Verse 5, this is what God's people are to me. They did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. They gave themselves to the Lord. Look at verse number 3. Yea, to their power I bring working beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Young people, that's what's made North Valley Baptist Church a great church. People here for 49 years now, this July, have been willing to be inconvenienced. They have been selfless. Whatever it takes, they've done it. We met on Clyde Avenue for 31 years with 38 parking stalls. By the time we got to 31 years, we were nearing 3,000 at that time in attendance. And nobody could park in the neighborhoods, and nobody could park at the church. And they had to take shuttles from different places all over. And they came to the house of God first service Sunday morning, and Sunday school, and second service Sunday morning, and Sunday night. I think of the people that came to the second service. Remember that building? It was a long, long, long shotgun. I mean, the platform was way up high, and it was a long shotgun. Three rows of pews, little ones on the two sides, up against the walls, and one right down the middle, way to the back. And then there was a balcony, and it was a horseshoe balcony, came around this way, came around in the stairs. And if people came to the early service, they knew they were probably not going to get in the auditorium Sunday night. They'd have to get an auxiliary auditorium and watch on a screen and have a pastor there and have an offering in there and have an invitation in there watching our service. And I watched every Sunday night as people got into the chairs and the choir came, and the pews and the choir came down. I watched the ushers come down, and then we put up another chair. You were there, another chair down the rows, and people would put in and then down this row, and there was a little aisle. And I watched those stairs every Sunday night. Crowds of people sat on the stairs so they could get in the auditorium. I watched after that second service Sunday morning, everyone lined, putting down their Bibles and their notepads and everything, saving their seat for Sunday night. I watched people knowing they were not going to get in, but they're going to come to church on a Sunday night and park off the property and get in here and sit in a fireside room. That's selfless people. They gave them themselves. When we every 2 months wash the buses at 6:45 in the morning, and we wash the buses and the trucks and the vans and the security car, we wash 30 some vehicles, 35 or so, and they're all cleaned inside, outside, armor all. And those men, Brother Poussin has it at this station one, the bus just keeps moving, and they go to this station, and 54 minutes they did about 35 vehicles. We do it every 2 months. That's selfless. It was back in January, getting them ready, and it was raining, but they showed up. About 100 men, 6:45. It was dark in the morning when we start. That's selfless. That's selfless. They gave of themselves. And before God is ever going to use a church like he wants, we're going to have to give of ourselves. And they gave out of their poverty. And so not only were they givers in their poverty, and not only were they selfless, I find, willing to be inconvenienced, I see they were sacrificial. Look at chapter number 8. You're listening well tonight. Always do. Look at the sacrifice. Verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also forward a year ago. You made a promise a year ago, like the President's Club, for example. Now therefore perform the doing of it. As there was a readiness to will, you wanted to do this a year ago, so there may be a performance out of that which you have. For if it be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to hath not. I mean not that others be eased and ye burdened, but by equality of fairness, that now time of the abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply of your want. These people sacrificed. And I see in verse 21, they were honest people, providing things honest in the sight of the Lord. Yes, you may magnify the liars we have. And imagine every church has them. But I like to look at our people as honest people. That's how I see it. And then I see their testimony, chapter 9, verse 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, that with that which I boast of you of them in Macedonia and Achaia, that was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. I'm about done. Can I tell you what your zeal did this week? Can I tell you what the choir zeal did this week? And I know we were down in attendance tonight. We got vacationers and spring break and all that, but not a bad sized choir. And I know the orchestra was down. That's okay. That's all right. They'll be back. And if they're not, we'll put the Treber Hex on them. But in an era where churches in America are not getting their choirs back from COVID, you know what it did? I watched them. The choir starts walking in. And all of a sudden they see that whole thing filled with men. And then they see the ladies coming. And sometimes they see them pointing. I imagine many counted this week. And I'm not suggesting you ought to count. But imagine they counted. Imagine they saw we ran into chairs. When some people sat, they had to sit on the stairs. And that's how it is almost every Sunday here. You know, your zeal, watching you serve God, watching you serve meals, thousands of meals, just watching you do that, watching you clean, watching you direct traffic out there, and it was cold last week, watching the security walk around here, watching the nursery workers, watching the people that were ushers and helping people. You know what your zeal, it provokes and encourages us. We can go back home and do this too. They heard one of the sessions, a layman, a deacon speak. That place was filled. They were. We could go home and be good deacons like this. I have such great deacons that you have given to me. Good men. Willing to serve God. And thank God for them. I got 39 men that are all responsible for 45 to 50 families each. To pray over them and to be what they should be and know their needs. We're blessed. And this week, your zeal provoked. That inspiration provoked. The invitation provoked many. I'm going to go home and see what God can do in my life and my church. Don't tell me God's people aren't great. Look what I see here about these people. I find verse number 13 of chapter 9, they were very liberal. Not in their theology. While as the experiment of this administration, they glorify God and profess subject unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And I find their prayer warriors, verse 14. And for by their prayer for you, by their prayer for you. It's an amazing thing how someone will text you or email you a righteous and say, the Lord just laid you on my heart. I was walking with God about something within the last 24 hours. And someone texted me and said, Brother Treber, I don't know why God's laid you so heavily upon my heart, but I'm praying for you today. And by the way, it may not be any terrible thing. Maybe I just need prayer for something. Maybe I need prayer for wisdom. Who knows what I need prayer for? I'm not going to announce it to you. But you realize what God did with just that text? God laid you so heavily upon my heart. I've been praying for you. Sometimes I get up through the night and I'll go to my phone and see there's some messages. And I don't know if people don't know, but we're on a different time zone. And when it's 12 o'clock here on the East Coast, it's 3 in the morning. I'm thinking, why are you texting me at 3 in the morning, your time, let alone midnight, my time, or 1 in the morning? And the great one is most of the time when you get to about 3:30 or 4, they're getting up their time 3 hours later. And they think, I got to let Treber know something. Well, when it's 6:30 in the morning in your time, on 3 hours ahead of us, you're not going to believe this. Do you know what time it is in California? If it's 6:30 in the East Coast, what would it be here? And I'm talking to you, dear pastor friends, right now, and people that have my cell phone. By the way, at that hour, don't text me on my cell. Text Brother Flood. Let me give you his number. It's 666-6666. That's his number. No, I don't know what his number is, but let's just, you know, if you want to get a hold of me, text Luke Flood. Let me give it to you right now. 408-629-7351. I wonder if that has to be somebody's number. It's not his. Don't call that number. I believe I told you just a couple weeks ago about that fella. I had some problem with my account years ago, and I saw it right before church on a Sunday night, and I called them. I told you this just recently. They hook you up with Mexico or the Philippines or Singapore, or this week I got hooked up with somebody. I was trying to make a reservation for someone in Hong Kong. And I tell you, God bless you, but I could not understand a word. And they all say the same thing. Just go to the computer. I don't know how to use a computer. I'm el stupido. So please, I'm not making fun of anybody's language. I'm the stupider of the stupidest about this. And you heard me say it. I said to this fella, I got into Mexico. Perfect language. I didn't know I was in, but I said, where am I calling? He goes, this is Mexico. Then he said, Pastor, oh, the conspiracy. They have it down, I'm a pastor. And he said, Pastor, you don't have time for this. I said, excuse me? He said, service begins in 15 minutes and you need to get going. I said, how do you know that? He goes, we watch every Sunday night here in Mexico, 6 o'clock. It's almost 6 o'clock there, so you got to get going, buddy. You know, God sent that man to me to be a real encouragement. I have people saying to me all the time, Brother Treiber, I'm praying for you. Paul said, brethren, pray for us. We always need prayer. When God lays someone in your heart, I try to do it, and I don't know cars like I used to know your cars and automobiles, but many of you, I know what kind of vehicle you drive. And I'll see a car like yours. I said, Lord, you're putting that car right there in front of me or by me to pray for them right now. I love God's people. I grew up in church. I've been in church my entire life. I watched my parents in the midnight hour go to prayer. I watched my parents when our neighbor boy was coming home from Bible college in that awful accident. I watched them go next door to the Moffitts and talk with them and pray with them. Their son was nigh unto death in Casper, Wyoming, 18-year-old boy. I watched it as our church assembled that night. I'll never forget my sweet pastor. I don't believe we should preach. I remember where I was sitting. He said, I don't believe I'll preach tonight. We've got one of our own boys that potentially will not live the lot night. And I want you to pray for Ronnie with me tonight. I remember, Brother Manuel, I remember hearing men and women and young people weeping. I could hear things like, oh, Ronnie, and they'd cry out his name. And the next morning, they said, he lived the night. And the next day, they said, he'll forever be paralyzed. He'll never walk again. But he lived. I remember years later attending his funeral. He's still young. But I remember our church praying for him that he'd live that night. I love God's people. Don't criticize God's people to me. Oh, yes, we have nutcases. I are one of them. My book, my picture is going to be in Nutcases I've Known. My wife's going to write that chapter. God's people are the best. You're God's people. Be the best. You know where joy comes? Ye are our joy and rejoicing. I live at this point in my life. I live for Sunday. I need Sunday morning so bad. I need Sunday night. I need Wednesday night. Enough out in that world can beat us up. But when I get in here and I hear you sing and I watch you, it brings great joy. Father, I love these people so much. I thank you for them. I pray your blessing upon their lives. I'd ask that all of us would understand that, yes, God's people are not perfect. And, oh, there's things that go wrong and difficulties in the pathway of life. But I'm so thankful that in the presence of our God, there's joy. And I'm thankful in the presence of your people, there's joy. We sing about it. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I pray that we'd be joyous Christians on the path of life.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.